Man, have you ever heard somebody say, would you please just quit griping? How many has heard that? Never? How many said it? I'm one of them. I've heard that a lot. Would you please just quit griping? I've heard enough, right? You know, griping kills our joy. It really does. And it makes us unhappy. It makes everyone around you unhappy too. And how many of you like to be around people who gripe all the time? We love that, don't we? Get around somebody and it's all they do is gripe and complain about everything. And you know, sometimes that's somebody else and sometimes it's us. I will say that. I have to admit that. You know, the problem is that once we start griping, it's hard to stop. You know, we get involved in a conversation and it's negative, and next thing you know, it just falls into that. And, you know, but griping can become a habit, and it can be a really bad habit. And it's hard to stop. It really is. We can find something to gripe about all the time. I mean, you turn the news on, and what's on the news? I don't care what your affiliation, whether you're a Democrat or Republican or what channel you watch, it seems like all the news is bad news. I mean, it's always negative. Somebody's not happy with this person, or this person's not happy, or that group's not happy. It's never like, you know, good news, right? It seems like that's our world that we live in. And we want to gripe about stuff, it seems like. I mean, it's like we want to find something to gripe at. It's either, you know, well, the sun's shining this morning, but yeah, it's really cold. You know? Well, you know, it's raining. I mean, you know, well, I wish it wasn't raining. I mean, we have gripe after gripe after gripe after gripe. But did we ever take in consideration that, yeah, it may be raining outside, but yet that's God's way of helping us grow things, you know, like the trees and the grass and those things like that. God does that. We thank Him for that. You know, we're somewhat conditioned by our society to complain. You know, we look at the headline on, you know, the news on television, and I'd say most of what we see is bad news. And we're bombarded continuously with what's wrong with everything. And by our own nature, by our own conditioning, we tend to develop the habit of complaining. But that's not how the Bible tells us to respond. It doesn't tell us to respond that way to this negative world we live in, because let me tell you, we live in a negative world. Well, let's look at Philippians chapter 2 this morning. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn to Philippians chapter 2 or your apps. What Philippians chapter 2 says, it says, do all things without complaining or disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Imagine that. They were dealing with that then, a perverse and crooked generation. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. I love that. We are in this crooked and perverse generation, but we're supposed to shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Man, the Bible tells us that Christians are to be different than the rest of the world. Whoa. Man, imagine that. We're supposed to be different. We're not supposed to gripe and complain like the rest of the world does. But we do, don't we? I have to admit. You know, I like the way the Message Bible says, a different translation. I like reading different translations sometimes just to see how they word things. It says this, do everything readily and cheerfully. No bickering. No second guessing allowed. Go out into the world uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. carry the light-giving message into the night, so I'll have a good cause to be proud of you on the day that Christ returns. You'll be living proof that I didn't go to all this work for nothing. I like how it says that. You know, we're to be a glimpse or a breath of fresh air to this negative, nasty world that we live in. We're supposed to be a fresh air, a glimpse of what God is, the living God is. Man. The Bible says do everything without complaining and arguing. And how do we do that? I mean, I'm telling you, how do we do that? I mean, even today already I found myself griping about something. I'm like, whoa, wait. I catch myself all the time, wanting to gripe about something. So I think there's some ways we can do that. And the first thing I find is we got to admit there's a problem. That's the first thing. That's one of the 12-step things. If you know any 12-step program, that's one of the biggest things. That's one of the first things they address is you got to admit you got a problem. Now, we've got lots of problems, let me tell you. And so we have to admit those problems. We have to work on them, tearing down those strongholds. That's how we grow closer to Christ. We get rid of those problems in our life. And it says, if you're a constant complainer, you have a problem. But the one thing is not how God wants us to live. It's not how He wants us to approach the world. It's not how He wants other people that are not Christians to see the body of Christ. He doesn't want us to see us as negative complainers and gripers all the time. He wants us to be cheerful, joyful. He wants others to see us and say, man, I want what they got because I've got a problem. I can't deal with this mess. So we have to admit, because the Bible says, do all things without complaining and disputing. Proverbs chapter 28 says this, people who conceal their sin will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. Proverbs 28:13. I think one of the most difficult parts of correcting a problem is to admit that we have one. Because we don't want to admit we got problems. And can you imagine Christians having problems? I can't imagine it, right? But we got to take some time. I challenge you, take some time this week to just pay attention to what you say and what you think about. And see how much time you spend griping and complaining instead of being joyful and not being a complainer and a griper. So take some time. I think you'll be surprised. I mean, I know this life is pretty rotten sometimes. It really is. And if you spend a major amount of your time talking negative, I'm telling you, you've got a problem. In the verse we just read from Proverbs 28, it gives us two steps of how to correct that problem. And if you got your Bibles and you don't mind marking in them, I'm marking mine all the time. I'm probably on my third Bible because the other ones are so marked up you can't hardly read some of the pages because I like to highlight those things. And sometimes they're marked in multiple colors. And then when you can't see those, you circle it, But it says two things right here. It says confess and turn, right there. And so we need to confess when we're doing wrong, and we also need to stop doing it. Simple as that. We got to give it to God and confess that we got a problem, and then we just got to stop doing it. Amen? I didn't hear any amens out of that. I like what one of my pastor friends says. He said, say amen and ouch at the same time, So the first step of solving a problem is to admit we have one. So number two, we got to change your self-talk. I don't know about anybody else, but I think there's a lot of people that's like me that we talk to ourselves all the time. Anytime I have something I need to really get out, and I go through this big debate in my mind and I talk to myself. And sometimes I talk out loud, so especially, when I'm driving down the road, I'm talking to myself, but at least now that cell phones, we have them through the phone, people don't look at you like you're nuts. Because before cell phones, people, when you was going down the road talking to yourself, people thought you was crazy. Now it's pretty normal. But I think most people talk to themselves. And, you know, I don't mean it in a negative way, but when I'm trying to think things through, I use language. I talk to myself. And how else can I think? And I've said many times jokingly, I said, when else can I have an intelligent conversation with somebody? Is when I'm talking to myself. We all think that, right? Because, well, I mean, we can think alike. I mean, you know, I can really talk things out with myself, you know? So, you know, this self-talk, what you are thinking on your mind and what you're saying to yourself, what you are meditating on is, well, that's what I mean by self-talk. But, you know, we got to be very careful about how we talk to ourselves. And sometimes this can lead to negative self-talk because we can talk ourselves down. Amen. We can say that I'm not good enough or I'm not worthy to do what I do or I'm not, you know, I'm not good. Nobody likes me, you know. Everybody hates me. I mean, you know, we can really get down on ourselves. But I know life's not good at times, and we can have a pity party on ourselves, and hey, we've all done that. I got to admit, I do that. And I've had to start catching myself. I got, you know, stop having a pity party and change my way of thinking and start thinking of the grace and the goodness of God. Because God loves me. He loves you. God forgives me as He's forgiven you. He thinks I'm special. You may not think I'm special, but God does. Nobody else may think I'm special, but let me tell you, God does. He may have made Adam out of a bunch of dirt and mud, but let me tell you what, He made him special. He thinks that you're so special that He sent His Son to die on a cross for you. That's pretty special. That's how God thinks of you. So don't let anybody, don't let yourself even talk yourself into that negative thought that you're not special. You know, I can't imagine that. I think about that. God thinks that I'm worth the sacrifice of His Son. You think about that. God thinks that you were worth the sacrifice of His Son. Yeah, we're sinners. But God knows all that, and He says, I'm still worth dying for. You're still worth dying for. So stop thinking you're worthless because God doesn't think you are. Change your way of thinking and change your self-talk. You know, Paul tells us in the book of Philippians, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are horrible or honorable, I'm horrible, whatever things are honorable, whatever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. We need to change our self-talk to thinking on those things which are positive and not negative. Number three, we need to speak positive. Man, that's hard for some of us to do. We got to speak positive words. I mean, that's what God wants us to do. Not only should we think positive thoughts, but we should also speak positive words. We need to lift each other up. Don't tear each other down. That's what the Scripture tells us even. Complaining is a habit, and it's a bad habit. Habits are only broken by replacing them with something else. And we got to take out the complaining and replace it with a positive way of speaking. The Bible tells us here in Ephesians again, it says, no foul language is to come from your mouth. No foul language. But only what is good in building something up. And I know a lot of Christians, they go around like an old hen stirred up. Click, 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 click. That's foul language, you know. I had to put that in there. That's my dad joke of the day. We get, you know, but they do. They go around like an old hen. It's all like got her eggs taken away from her. I mean, she's all worked up, clucking around, you know, just all worked up over nothing. But that scripture says no foul language is to come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need, so that it gives grace to those who hear. Man, when we're being positive, when we're building somebody else, guess what? There may be somebody else listening to what you're saying. And when you do that, they hear that and they're like, man, it blesses them too. It gives grace to those who hear it. The Bible says we're going to give an account of every careless word that we speak. Matthew talks about this in Matthew chapter 12. Man, boy, this one right here is an amen and ouch. It says, I tell you that on that day of judgment, people will have to account for every careless word they speak. Woo. Man, that makes you think, don't it? How many times have I said things that, boy, you can't take it back either. Man, those words that come out, you can't catch them. You can't take them back. It's done. Man, some people hold on to those words too. They don't forget them. Man, God is the only forgiver. Man, praise God for that. Amen. You know, I believe that we will have to give an account for every word that we have spoken, whether it was a careless word or not. And whether it was intentional or non-intentional. So we have to choose our words wisely. I know I'm guilty. I am. I admit that to you. And I've given it to God. I've given it to Him. And I said, Lord, I don't want to do that anymore. You know, Paul's saying, don't let any junk come out of your mouths, but only that which helps people with their needs and that benefits them. You know, we've all heard this saying, if you can't say something good, don't say anything at all. You know, we've said that before. Even though it's not biblical saying, it really is a wise saying. So replace your criticisms and complaints with compliments and positive speaking. Fourth thing I find is we got to take responsibility for our own life. Boy, that's a big one too, isn't it? No, it's not always somebody else's fault. You know, many times complaining is just an attempt to blame other people for the problem. And if I brought the problem on myself, I need to take responsibility for it. Amen? I don't need to complain or blame others for the problems that I got myself into because I'm the cause of it. So how should I blame somebody else for it? You know, this practice goes back a long way. It really does because we know that Adam and Eve in the garden, when Eve gave Adam the apple and Adam ate the apple and then God's like, what'd you do, Adam? And Adam's like, hey, you know that woman that you made, you gave me? You know? She made me do it. I mean, right off the bat, Adam's like, hey, that woman, he blamed her, and then he blamed God. You made her. I mean, so it's not anything new. Proverbs 19:3 says, people ruin their lives by their own stupidity. So why does God always get blamed? Man, that's a good one, isn't it? We have a tendency to not only, if we can't find somebody else to blame, we blame God. Woe is me, God. Why in the world am I going through this? You know, Adam blamed God for the mistake that he made. And sometimes we blame God for our own mistakes too. You know, but all actions, I'm going to tell you, all actions have consequences. You know, if I drop the ball, sometimes it comes back and hits me in the face, right? especially those real bouncy ones. And I can complain about it, but I was the one that dropped it, right? Whatever a man sows, he will reap, Galatians 6:7. It's simple as that. You know, when I bring problems into my life, I have no legitimate right to complain about it. You know, we're free to do whatever we want in life. And sometimes we make wise choices, and sometimes we just flat out make stupid choices. We really do. But we need to take responsibility for those choices, and the consequences will follow at times. But we got to accept that responsibility for our own life, our own words, the things that we say, the things that we do. We have to take responsibility for that. Sometimes the changes that happen in our life only take place because of the choices that we made. You know, I found it. There's three kinds of people in this world, in life. There's accusers, there's excusers, and there's choosers. Accusers are always going around saying, it's your fault. Just like when Adam sinned, he blamed his wife and then blamed God. He was an accuser. Excusers say, I'm the product of my environment. It's not really my fault. So they have an excuse for everything. And the people that are really successful in life are neither accusers nor excusers, they are choosers. They accept responsibility for their own decisions, and they reap what they sow, and they accept and they move on. We have to do that in a positive way. The next thing we need to do is develop an attitude of gratitude. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians, it says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You know, if you have your Bibles open, circle that everything, that word everything. Because that's a big word right there. Because that means everything. That means when you're sick, or when you're going through a tragedy in your life. That everything's a big word. We have to be thankful in everything. And I want you to highlight that word in everything. In all situations and in all circumstances, we have to give thanks. Notice that, if you notice, the word doesn't say for every situation. It doesn't, or circumstance. You know, there's times we can't always be thankful for having something going on in our life. It's hard to be thankful when we're going through something, cancer or sickness or something like that. It's hard to be thankful for that. But let me tell you, we can be thankful in it when we're going through it, because we trust God and we know that He is with us in everything that we're going through. Romans 8:28, very verse that we very familiar. It says, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called and according to His purpose. You know, God is big enough to take even the bad stuff in my life, in your life, and work it out for your good. Amen? You believe that this morning? God has a purpose for you and me. And He fits even the bad things in our lives into that purpose for our good. There's times we don't understand. God's purpose for my life is greater than my problems. Amen? Remember that. God's purpose in your life is bigger than your problems. Let me tell you, there's times we have problems. Man, I've had many times in my life, I've had problems. Hard to deal with. Things I didn't understand. I didn't know how I was going to get through it. Some of it was brought on by my own stupidity, and some of it was just happened. But I trust God, and I'm like, man, God, whatever. And sometimes that's all you can say. It's just, all right, whatever. God is big enough And he's greater than your problems. I got to, myself personally, I've had to develop an attitude of gratitude because I know that God is in control. And I believe that. I've said it many times before. Yep, God is in control. God is so good. And then I turn around and gripe about things that are going on. I'm like, really? Do I really believe that God's in control? And do I really believe that He's going to take care of everything no matter what? So I have to start, I start talking to myself. I'm like, yeah, He is. Yeah, He is. Forgive me, Lord. I'm so sorry. He's more faithful than any failure I can experience. He's truer than any trouble I can find myself in. And my God is bigger than any problem. And He's stronger than any situation. And He's constantly working for our good in every circumstance that we will ever find ourselves in. That fact to me is a tremendous fact. And it's an antidote for our complaining. You know, whenever we're complaining, we're usually getting our eyes off the powerfulness of God and focusing on our problems. So we have a choice. We can either focus on negative or we can focus on positive. It's our choice. So I ask you this morning, is the cup half empty or is the cup half full? Which is it? We've heard that many times. And it all depends on how you look at it. It's your choice on how you look at it. You know, there's many things in our life that's not perfect, and I don't think they're supposed to be. Not as long as we live in this world. This side of heaven, things are just not going to be perfect. Amen? God calls us to have this. He wants and desires us to have this perfect relationship with Him. That is the only thing perfect, this side of heaven. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. God is in the process of changing your life, and He wants you to be more like Jesus and develop an attitude of gratitude, for that is God's will in your life. And we've been talking about holiness, and that's really what holiness is all about. It's developing this Christ-likeness in your life as we go through life. The last thing I want to talk about this morning is we've got to look for God in every situation. We got to develop that. We've got to look for God in every situation. If you're a Christian, God is active in your life, and He's there in each and every situation, and you may not be aware of it sometimes. I think sometimes we tend to forget it. But God is there in every situation. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, He says, I'm sure of this, that He who started a good work in you will carry it on. Amen. Man, from the day you accepted Christ into your life, He began a good work in you. And He's going to carry it on. Amen? If you want to get victory over complaining, look for God's hand in all of your situations and circumstances. If you're going through some rough times, be aware God is there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Amen? Think about that. Look for God in every situation. Paul is saying that problems will come in our life. Jesus even said that. Trials will come. You're going to deal with stuff. Jesus even went as far to say, "As you know, they hated me. And guess what? They're going to hate you too." We see this world growing, a growing hatred in this world towards anything that is good, anything that is God-like, anything this growing hatred comes. So don't be surprised by it. But he's saying that's just temporary. It's just temporary. Because guess what? You got eternity with me. Amen? You think about that. I can think, you know, I'm a young man still. I consider myself 54 years old. I'm a young man. But that 54 years has flown by. Boom, it's gone. I know the next 54 years or 20 years or whatever I've got left. You know, I can't think like that anymore. But one time I could say 50 years from now, 50 years from now, I might be with Jesus in glory. Amen? That's exciting to think about. That's not a negative. That's a positive thing. Amen? Because this life is just temporary. The things that we go through here in life is just temporary. This pandemic, this what we're going through is just temporary. It may last for another year, 2 years, I don't know. But it's just temporary. And God is with us. Man, we're here, two or three are gathered together in my name. Guess what? He says, I'll be there. I'm here with you. We could have 800 or 8,000. God is still there. Or just 8. Man, God is still here. I look for God's hand in the circumstances, and positive people realize that God is in control and God is fitting everything into a pattern, and His purpose is greater than your problems. And the reason why over and over in the Bible we're told to not complain is complaining leaves God out of the situation. When I complain about my circumstance, I'm really saying God isn't big enough to take care of me. If you're a constant complainer, if we fall into that, we got to take a good look at our faith in God. He will never leave you, and He will never forsake you, and He'll always take care of you. So the positive results of a life of not griping is what I'd say, or not complaining. We got to go back where we started this morning to the scripture there in Philippians where it says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of God, the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. I got to read it again in the message because I like that. It says, do everything readily and cheerfully. No bickering. No second guessing allowed. Go out into the world uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. I love that. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and of living, of the living God. He says, I'll be proud of you if you do that. It'll make me feel like I didn't do all that I did in vain. That means that when you don't complain, you're changing the atmosphere of the world that you live in. Can you imagine that? I know how easy it is to get caught up in gossip moments. How easy it is to get caught up in complaining moments. And we all get brought in. It's drawn into that. But wouldn't it be good when we have those moments to say, you know, but God is so good. I know we're going through some junk in this world right now that we live in. But let me tell you, God is so good. He'll see us through. What we're going through is just temporary. And God will see us through. So I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you this morning. Let's change the atmosphere of this world. Amen. God gave us the strength to do that. Jesus said, I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit. And that's where we get our strength from, to be able to change the atmosphere of this world in a positive way. Matthew 5:14 says this, you are a light. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Amen. You know, our culture here in this world we live in, it needs some good news in it, right? And what is the good news? Jesus died for you. Amen. He died for you. So let's be a breath of fresh air to this world and to this community as we leave here today. And quit your griping. Amen. Let's stand for prayer. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just surrender ourselves to you this morning, Lord. We lay aside all things that are negative. And Lord, we take on the positive attitude that you had, Lord. We want what is good and what is incorruptible, Lord. And we can only do that with the power of your Holy Spirit. So Lord, as we leave here today, we don't leave you. Lord, we go and you go wherever we go. So Lord, let us leave here in the power of Jesus Christ, the one who can, the one who saves, the one who gives us the strength to endure this corrupted world, this perverse world. So Lord, let us be those who are a light that shine in a dark world. Let us be those who show a breath of fresh air and show that you are the living and true God. Lord, remember those again, Lord. We lift those up that are sick and afflicted among us. And so, Lord, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.